have a very important message I want to share with us. And this message isn't just for us as Scripture Pasture. It's actually for the Universal Church. We are living in a day and in an hour that many Christians are feeling perplexed with what is going on in the world. Evil seems to be arising in every area we can look at. We look at our children, we look at the educational system, we look at the economics, you know, the Bible calls it gross darkness. And recently, somebody sent to me something on WhatsApp concerning the demographics. Demographic just means the population statistics and spread of population over, you know, tribes and countries and religions and ethnic groups and so on and so forth. And in particular, for Europe and America, the statistics were very frightening, because what the statistics actually said was that with the current birth rates, many of the Europeans and Americans, I'm talking about the Caucasians now, are not giving birth as much as they used to. So their birth rates have dropped drastically. Whereas many of the immigrants, particularly the Muslims and things like that, are actually giving birth in multiple proportions. So without doing anything at all, you know, within the next 10, 15 years, the majority of the population in many of these countries will be predominantly Muslim. This has frightened a lot of Christians. In fact, recently, the mayor of London was elected, and who happens to be a Muslim. Now, I want to quickly say this is very important. I am not against that particular person, neither am I against Muslims in general speaking. You know, the essence of this message is actually to give understanding, light, and hope to the church. You know, the church many times majors on the minors. And when we get all bent out of shape, that just means we get all disturbed and worried, you know, when we see some of these things. And it's not that we shouldn't worry, but we shouldn't worry. What we should do is we should channel our concern in an intelligent manner by the power of God to address the concern, rather than to mumble and to grumble and to complain, and then we try and solve a spiritual problem using fleshly methods. And that's the reason for this message. It is true. Those demographics are quite true. You know, you see, you know, particularly in Europe, this is also true in America, you know, even in Canada, amazingly, because you've got a lot of immigration of people coming who are not people who traditionally grew up in those lands. So many of them come with their own religions, they come with their own diverse ethnicities and cultures, and the whole demographics of those nations are rapidly changing, you know, and it is causing many people to panic, you know, and to begin to respond negatively towards some of these people, you know, and react in the flesh. You find even the current American elections, you know, this issue of race has been whipped up, and people are have a tendency, let me put it that way, to try and respond in a negative manner, you know, and say things that are really let me just use a very simple term, uncharitable. So, what is God saying? Hence this message. It is entitled You're waiting, praise the Lord. Sheep not of this fold. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I enter your word with the reverence it deserves. I'm fully conscious of the limitations of the human mind to receive, to deliver, as well as to receive the infinite wisdom, your infinite wisdom that has been compressed into human words in this book. And so your Bible. And so we need the help of the Holy Spirit to help us to unravel it and to release this wisdom of God with the clarity that you want it to be released, so that we can intelligently act upon it and cause your kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. Father, I therefore ask you to come and help me and anoint me afresh, so that I would speak as I should as an oracle of God, and put the same anointing and unction upon the ears and the hearts of everybody that will hear me, those who are physically present, those who will hear me electronically, Lord, wherever they hear in all the earth, that the word will have free course, Father, from you, through me, to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, so that, Lord God, our wills will become more humble, our minds will be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, our emotions will be more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We further pray, as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in more than sufficient measure to follow these words, to back them up wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and on hearers only. I further pray for mercy to be faithful in the delivery. That I will deliver the word with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say. Bring out the treasure of your word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And everybody in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mention in their individual life, agreed with me and said,
Amen.
Sheep not of this fold. In John chapter 10, in verse 16, the Lord Jesus himself, the Lord Jesus himself says these words. And I want every Christian to read these words after me. When by the time I finish this message to the glory of God, you will know how to deal with these problems and these things that we are seeing, and we will respond in the spirit and not respond in the flesh. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. Everybody say, I must bring. And they, turn to your neighbor, say, these sheep that are not yet of this fold, these men and these women, these boys and these girls that are not yet Christians, they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Here the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching using the natural illustration and analogy of a sheep and shepherd. And he makes this earth-shattering statement. He was talking to his disciples. And he said, look, there are other sheep. Sheep there, we'll see maybe later on if we have time to turn, then even if we don't, I just mentioned it, it's in Ezekiel chapter 4 in the last verse, I think it's verse 21 or something. It says the sheep are men. So the Bible is talking about human beings, men. Then he says, they said, look, there are other sheep, there are other men that I have, they belong to me, but they are not yet of this fold. They haven't come in yet, but they're mine. And I'm going to bring them in. I'm paraphrasing. And they will hear my voice. And there's going to be one fold and one shepherd. You see, if you look at these demographics that I've spoken about, and if you don't understand what I'm about to teach and what I'm teaching now prophetically, and this is a prophetic message, it says that some of the things I'm saying will be taking place in the immediate future. When we were talking about 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, you know, ahead of us, you know, you will, if you're not careful, you will begin to respond in the flesh, and you begin to do something that we all must be careful not to do. And that is, you begin to class all people in a particular demographic group with a particular label. What did you call it, darling? Thank you, darling. That's why she read English. There's a big difference. Stereotype. So you see a black man, and you say, oh my God, he must be troublesome. You see a Nigerian, say, he must be corrupt. A.K.A. David Cameron. We're binding in Jesus' name. But that's what happens when you stereotype people. Now, there are a lot of corrupt Nigerians, but there are a lot of corrupt Nigerians who are not corrupt at all. In fact, those of us who are not corrupt are more than the ones that are corrupt. But the ones that are corrupt are the ones that are making the loudest noise. And that people know. So you're on a queue in the airport. It's happened to my wife and I sometimes. You know, everybody's coming, American passport, American passport, American, and then you'll bring the green one. And then they look at you. All the other people just say, please go in, please go in, please go in. Then you. Can you take your cap off, please? Just to be sure. Just to be sure that it's really you. They didn't check all the other people. Why? It's a stereotype. Stereotype. Thank you, darling. Stereotype profile. And I want to remove that thing from the church. What I have talked about Nigerians, now you can take it to religions. He's a Muslim. Ha! He must be a El Kai. He must be Bin Laden. I'll talk about Bin Laden later on today. You know? He must be... He's a Muslim. Once you just see, you know, Abdul Karam. He must be a terrorist. No. Majority of Muslims are not terrorists. Majority of them are, some of them are even more honest than many Christians. Yours truly that you're looking at here, my mother was a Muslim, should I say. Came from a Muslim background. My grandfather was a chief imam. And here I am. What do you want to do about that? Amen. My wife's dad is a Muslim. Very careful about stereotyping. Satan wants you to destroy the nation. Not just nation, nations. If that's why this message is so important. Sheep not of this fold. If you're not careful, everybody who is a Buddhist or is a Hindu or is a Muslim, automatically as a Christian, you want to take an aggressive stand towards them that this must be the devil. You've got to be like Jesus. There are sheep that I have that are not yet of this fold. I'm going to say something that's very important, and I want to say this in particular, even in relation to this new mayor of London that has just been elected. I don't know the guy personally. I am not for him. I'm not against him. I'm just taking God's, what I call a righteous, a balanced stand. Do you understand? You know, always give people the benefit of the doubt. Do not judge a man based on his label. You don't know what is in his heart. And until God can actually show you what is in his heart or actions and things that he actually does before you can come to some type of conclusion about whether he's good or bad. And even if he's bad, you have to attack him with spiritual weapons, not natural. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I thank God for what Pastor Kunle preached today. The real battle is in the heavens. Don't start fighting, Mr. Khan. It's not your problem. Your problem is the principality and power over London. Bind them and Khan will behave. It's as simple. It really is as simple as that. And this person, you know, during the elections, I didn't know much. I didn't even know anything was going on until a day before the election. I was like getting WhatsApp messages from London. You know, don't vote for this man. Blah, 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 blah. You know, his brother, you know, was his brother-in-law. This was 10, 20 years ago. Was involved in some kind of terrorism or something with some other people. And people just started, you know, I didn't know anything about it. I didn't even react. You know, I couldn't vote anyway. I was here, you know. And then later on, I just got to read a few things about the fellow and all of that, and some things I read, I didn't see anything bad, you know. And also he said, give him the benefit of the doubt. And that's where Bin Laden comes in. Do you know that Bin Laden's brother is still living in America till today? He lives in Florida. The brother of Osama Bin Laden, his very brother, he's still walking free in America today. He's not a terrorist. He hasn't had any contact with his brother. He never supported what his brother did. FBI checked him out. CIA checked him out. He was never arrested. They went to him. They questioned him. He gave them all the cooperation he could. He gave them all the information they could. They said it. They never harassed him. You got to be careful. Kushalabakara, I just got a text. When you are trying to weed out the tares, if you are not careful, you will weed some of the wheat with the tares. Be very careful. Be very careful. Don't go on hearsay. Don't react on something. And you know, it's a prayerless church that operates in the flesh. No, we don't know how to pray. So we now want to do what we want to achieve by the flesh, what can only be done by the Spirit. Because we can't hear God. Are you listening to me? Give them the benefit of the doubt. Give them the benefit of the doubt. I say, Lord, I don't know this guy. But the fact that he's from India, or he's from Pakistan, or he's from Nigeria, or he's from America, or he's from this, does not necessarily mean that he has the same characteristics as some other people who are there. Give them the benefit of the doubt. How do you know that he's not sheep that are not of this fold? Some of the people you think is your enemy now become your greatest allies in the days ahead. Some of them, God has placed them there now because God knows their heart. And God is going to use them in the future for what God wants to do. How do you know? You don't know. So you have to pray. And most importantly, pray in the Spirit. I can't trust that understanding in your head. It's all messed up. That's why, shut up, man, and let God talk. Let the Holy Ghost speak through you when you pray. That way you will pray the will of God, even when your head is messed up. Are you listening to me? Glory be to God. So, sheep, like I said, you know, are men that are not yet Christians. And there are many, there are a significant number, let me use that word, you know, of men today who are not yet born again. They're not yet Christians, but they have good hearts. God is working in the hearts of many men who are not yet Christians today. Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus. Doesn't matter the religious tag. Don't stereotype people based on their religion. Jesus did not. And I'm going to give example from the Bible. I'm going to give three examples. You know, as in the Mount of Tortures, let every word be established. There was, look at Genesis 20 verse 6. There was a man called Abimelech. This man was a heathen. Today, Abimelech would probably be a Muslim. In today's demographics. He was the man, he was the kind of person who had more than one wife. He had a harem. He had wives. He didn't know God. He didn't know Jehovah the way Abraham knew him. But you know, even when people are praying to God, in maybe in what we call a wrong way, you know, because they don't have the knowledge that they should have, their hearts can still be right. And you know, God doesn't look at all that religious tag. He looks at the heart. So Abraham came to Abimelech with his wife, Sarah. This was the time when God was doing that miracle in Sarah. And Sarah had started looking younger and more beautiful. And Abraham told him that Sarah was his sister. So Abimelech, a fine woman, why not? And then he now co-opted her into the harem. Verse 6. And God said unto him, in a dream. See how God, see God. Oh. There was no Bible in those days. God spoke to Abimelech in a language Abimelech could understand. Whether he appeared to him as God or he had some kind of apparition, it was in a dream. And look at what God said to him. In a dream, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart. This man is not a Jew. He does not have a covenant with God. Today, he could have been a Muslim or a Buddhist or a Hindu or some other religion that is not Christian. Yet, the man had integrity of heart, attested to by the God of Abraham. Be very careful. You did it. I also, watch this. For I also withheld thee from sinning against me. God moves supernaturally in the circumstances so that Abimelech never ventured to try to sleep with Sarah, even though she was in his harem. Who doesn't say that God does not rule in the affairs of men? Here is a heathen who does not know God, yet God moved on him, moved on his circumstances, and kept him from doing the wrong thing. What will God do if we pray properly? Amen. Therefore, I suffered, the word is Old English, I did not allow you to touch her. I don't want to go into the rest of the story, but it's a very beautiful story. Abimelech immediately, shows the man had integrity of heart. See, I didn't know he told me it was sister. Now, God said, now, Godfather style, you're a dead man. I'm making you an offer you can't refuse. Return her and give the guy gifts. Immediately he did. Gave Abraham gold and silver and said, please go. Number two, Naaman. I'm talking about unbelievers. I'm not a people who call heathen, but they were sheep, not yet of this fold. Look at Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. This is a very revealing scripture. It's a scripture many times you just quickly read over. You need to stop and analyze what is inside the scripture. Read, everybody. Now, Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a what? Great man with his master and honorable because the devil had given him deliverance. This man didn't know God. Who? Look at the account, and the scripture cannot be broken. Look at the account. This is written by the Holy Spirit. Inspired by the Holy Spirit. He says he was because the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. Can you imagine? God was helping a heathen that did not know God to get victory. Amen. Touch your neighbor, say, God is ruling the affairs of men. I'm going to be very careful about stereotyping. The guy was not even he wasn't a Jew. He didn't know the God at that time. He came in later. You know, he didn't know the God of Abraham. But even before he got to know the God of Abraham, God was already giving him victory. God was sometimes when you're trying to fight unbelievers, you're fighting God. Because God is the one that is behind them. But because you lack spiritual understanding. And that's why God told me to come and preach this message. Because you lack spiritual insight. Sometimes we Christians are actually fighting against the purpose of God. That's why it's safe to pray in tongues. For truly we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. You know why? We don't know the hearts of men. Only God knows the hearts of men. The one that has the right tag may have the wrong heart. The one that has the wrong title may have the right heart. Only God knows. Especially when it comes to human governments. Look at this. If this was today, and this scripture was not inside the Bible, and I told you that one unbeliever, one Muslim, that is God who is giving him deliverance, you say, Pastor Olubi, you are blaspheming. Wouldn't you? Yet the scripture says so, and the scripture cannot be broken. An unbeliever, a heathen, not only that he was a leper. Let us be very careful. Lepers were an abomination in Israel. You are not allowed to keep company with lepers. Lepers have to be saying unclean, 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 unclean. That's why, this just by the way, free of charge. That's why that leper was so afraid when he went to Jesus and said, if thou be willing, thou will make me clean. Because he didn't know whether Jesus would tell them to quickly take him and throw him inside, take him away from circulation. Because that's what the priest did. He wasn't sure. The same thing with the woman with the issue of blood. He was not sure because Jesus was a rabbi. I don't know whether you know, Jesus was a Pharisee. He wasn't a hypocritical Pharisee, but he was a Pharisee. He believed in the law. You know, he wore phylacteries. You know, Jesus was a rabbi. Are you listening to me? And so they didn't know that now we know Jesus is the Son of God and his compassion. But that time he was just, you know, a carpenter and a rabbi from Nazareth. He didn't know how he was going to react. So he said, Lord, if you are willing, he was so surprised. God says, I will. Koshelemenka, be thou made whole. The Bible says the leprosy departed from him. It means leprosy can hear the voice of God. Glory be to God. As can any other sickness. If there's any sickness in your body now, just say, depart. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Ask for somebody. Are you listening to me? But see, Naaman, an unbeliever, a heathen, a Muslim, or a Jew, or a Gentile, or a Buddhist, or a Hindu, or whatever. Don't stereotype people. Try and find out the heart. And if you ask, God will show you. If you ask and you pray in the Spirit and your mind is unbiased. That's why it's so important to have what one would call an open mind. I'm not saying we should be gullible, but I'm saying we need to be like Jesus. The Lord Jesus, you know, and God himself, God Jehovah. He said, and he gave this man victory. And because God knew his heart, the eyes of the Lord drawn to and fro throughout the world to show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. He showed himself strong on behalf of this man. To cut a long story short, God allowed them to have victory. God gave them deliverance. They defeated God's people. They defeated Israel and carried captives, slaves from Israel, and one of them was a house girl in the house of Naaman, who was ministering to his wife. God put his deliverance. Who says God does not rule in the affairs of men? Talk to your neighbor and say, let's be careful, oh. Tread softly. Your enemy may be your deliverer. This girl who was his slave, he could do what he liked with her. He could have killed her. He could have done anything. But she was serving his wife. And because Naaman was such a nice man, look at what the scripture said about it. It says he was an honorable man. Unbeliever. I want to change our thinking. Unbeliever.
What would you do? Muslim or Hindu or Buddhist or whatever tag you want to put upon them. You know, Elijah, he was an honorable man. God knew that. One day that girl was just looking after her madam and said, "Oh, that my Lord will go to the prophet in Samaria and he will heal him of his leprosy." And Naaman heard it. You know, if Naaman was a proud man, if he was a obstinate, if Naaman was like Abigail's husband, what's the name of that fellow? God doesn't even allow me to remember his name. What's his name again? Neighbor. There are many Christians like that. Look at the contrast. He was an Israelite. Naaman was an unbeliever. Can you compare the two? That's still happening today. There are many people. What's the guy's name again? Neighbor. It shows you God doesn't even want me. The only God's company puts me into remembrance. But this neighbor, the guy is so bad. The Bible says, like, as he is, so is his name. So God doesn't want me to remember. Can you believe? Look at the contrast between Nabal and Naaman. One had the wrong title, right heart. The other one had the right title, wrong heart. If it was Nabal, he would get him to go and slap that girl. That long pin leper. He's a leper. Yes. I can imagine big Nigerian men who are, you know, and then the house girl has the effrontery to say, and if he goes to this place, they will heal him. Emi long pin leper. Oh, then John let me. Slave, lason. That's the reaction of a proud person. But Naaman was not like that. And God knew, because God knew his heart. So God put his deliverance in his house. And he said, a way of escape. And he believed what that girl said. Came to Israel, went to see the prophet. We know the story. At first he was angry. Again, it was another servant. That man, he was a good man. He was another servant. I said, Oga. The prophet did not ask you to do some hard thing. All he said was go and jump in the lake. 7 times. And Naaman humbled himself. And he went and jumped in the lake. Obey the prophet too. When the prophet says go jump in the lake, go jump in the lake. You'll be blessed. Hallelujah. When the prophet says you're a dog, say yes, I'm a dog. Give me the crumbs. You don't get offended by the language the prophet uses. Take what God has sent the prophet to say to you and believe it. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. That's just by the way. Are you listening to me? And that's what happened. He believed, he just did what, and he became clean. Ah! He said, now I know there is no other God. He had the heart to sheep, not of this fold. He had already been sheep before he came in by his heart. Then God used a combination of supernatural circumstances to bring him into the fold. And he now said, he now became what is known as a proselyte. Those are Gentiles that now begin to serve Jehovah under the Old Testament. And said, I'm going to serve this God. There's no other God I'm going to serve. Then he went back to his country. Then he now took permission. He took soil from the land of Israel. Said, when I get there, so when I'm going to pray, I will pray. Then he said, prophet, please, my Oga is still worshipping our gods. I don't believe in that anymore, but I have to follow him to the temple. And when I get there, you know, I will not worship, I will just stand, because I have to do that because of protocol. Please permit me this. Elijah said, of course, no problem. If it was us today, we would be so rigid. Christians are so silly. Are you listening to me? We'll be so rigid, forgetting that the letter killeth, but the spirit gives life. I want to repeat what I've said before. God looks at the heart. Some years ago, one of my aunties died. Muslim, my mother's most senior sister, she died. And so they were going to do the funeral. They did it in a mosque, in my grandfather's mosque in Lagos, in Tukumbo Street in Lagos, you know. And quite a number of my cousins have got born again, you know. And, you know, some of them are ministers and everything, you know. And I remember somebody asking me some silly question, are you going to go to the mosque? I said, of course I'm going. A silly question. You know, Pastor Olubi, how can people see you in a mosque? I went. When they stood up, I stood up. When they sat down, I sat down. When they prayed their prayer, I prayed my own. I just prayed. I didn't do it. I just prayed quietly in tongues. Quietly. No, something. God is not going to. God, you don't know God. I don't go to a Muslim every Friday. I don't go to a mosque every Friday. But if things like that happen, I will go to the mosque. When my father-in-law did his 25th anniversary in Ijebu, my wife and I supported him. When they went to the mosque, we went to the mosque. We were sitting outside. You know, when they did everything they did, we did everything they did. We just prayed quietly. No problem. You see, God is not legalistic. If you are legalistic, you don't know God. Nehemiah is very instructive for all Christians. Learn to treat people with, you know, that little space. You know, and you know, people are watching. They won't tell you, but they are watching. And you know what? Your actions is sending a big message. A big message to them. For the day they will get born again. God is using those actions of love, of kindness, of tolerance to draw them in. Are you listening to me? I got to move. The third example, we've seen Abimelech, we've seen Naaman. But in the mouth of three witnesses, you know, this one is in the New Testament. His name is Cornelius. Sheep, not of this fold. Of the Italian band. He was a centurion. Unbeliever. At that time. He was sheep, but not yet of the fold. But he had a good habit. Understand? He was seeking God. He didn't know God. He didn't know God. He didn't know God properly. But he just... So, the little that he knew, he used to give alms to the poor. He used to give... Thank you, darling. You know. He used to give alms to the poor. And he used to pray the way he knew how to pray. I want to warn you, Christians. I want to warn you. Don't despise other people. Even if they are praying wrong... We know that the only prayer that can be heard is in the name of Jesus. We know that. Are you following? But how come God heard Cornelius' prayer? Because God does not look at the... He does not look at the title. He looks at the heart. And when God sees the heart is right, he will go and find somebody who is praying in the name of Jesus, join that prayer to that prayer, and help that person. Take it easy. Do you know sometimes when you are praying in tongues, you are praying for unbelievers? What do you want to do about that? That's why the Holy Ghost will not let you know what he's talking about. Because you are so biased. You will not allow him to do what he wants to do. Am I talking to anybody here? Oh, this is the truth. I told you that by the time I finish this message, you will change. So biased. Remember Peter. This same Cornelius. Peter, God knew Peter. Just like most of us. If I tell him to go to that, he will not hear. So he got to the roof and he was praying. God sent down something 3 times. Full of all kinds of funny animals. Peter said, God, you don't understand. Our Baba holiness. Nothing unclean has ever passed my mouth. That's why some silly Christians don't eat a layer. If you have a layer, send it to me. My work, man. I will pray over it and sanctify it. So if you don't want your layer, silly Christians. Yeah, people, you don't come, we don't understand God. God said, what God has cleansed, don't call common. And sent people to him. He got to Cornelius' house. You know, God knew Peter so well. He knew him. You know, all the, this is what I'm preaching against. Stereotyping. He's a Gentile. I can't go to his house. So God had to use the vision. Then sent soldiers. And you know, in those days, you don't disobey Roman soldier. There's a 3 men seeketh for thee downstairs. When Peter got downstairs, I saw 3 heavy Roman soldiers in full battle gear. Our guy is sending for you. Hello, somebody. Am I talking to anybody here? Yes. You know. And but God had already told him. You know what God said? He said, 3 men seeketh for thee. He said, go with them, nothing doubting. Along to mental only. Just like so many of us. And then he went. We know the story. And at the end of the day, they got to Cornelius' house. He began to preach. God didn't even let him finish. He just got to the place where Jesus died and he was raised again. God said, thank you. He was enough to bang, Holy Ghost. Are you listening to me? And they started to speak in tongues. God knows what he's doing, though. Because if they didn't speak in tongues, some of the brethren would say they cannot be baptized in water. So immediately they got the tongues. They said, can we? Who can forbid? All our mountains. You know, we brethren, we are wonderful. God knows us. And see, that's how the Gentiles came into the kingdom. Even after that, people still fought Peter. When he got to Jerusalem, they said, you went to the house of Gentiles. Just like us, they go to the house of a Muslim or go to the house of something. You know, one of my very, very good friends, a Muslim, when his daughter was going to get married, he just came to me. We became friends, you know, just casually. And he said, Pastor, God told me that you should be the one to pray at my daughter's wedding. I said, yes, it would be an honor. And I did. If it was another creature, how can I go and pray? You don't even know what God is doing. Sheep, not yet of this fold. Have I helped anybody here this afternoon? We're going to close shortly. Hallelujah. So I want you to understand. Now let's go to Ezekiel. Oh, Karamakara, before we go to Ezekiel, look at John 12, verse 48. Trust me, we have just about 2 or 3 more scriptures and we're done. Am I helping anybody here? Am I helping anybody here? Glory be to God. Because many of you, God has planted you with people who are not yet of this fold. Make sure your attitude is right. And don't act holier than thou. Don't behave like Peter. Don't behave like Jesus. That's why Jesus scandalized the people. Go and eat in the house of, what's the name of that guy? Zacchaeus. Don't let me give you the present day equivalent of Zacchaeus. Something has come to my mind, but I don't want them to come and arrest me. There are people like that today in Nigeria, just like Zacchaeus. Let me give you a hint. They are tax collectors. And then somebody just says, I come and have lunch in his house. If God says go, go. Maybe it is you God is going to use to save him. You know, if we learn to wrestle the principalities and powers, these men will become bread for us. That's the truth. John 12. I'm not talking to anybody here. And look at verse 48, 47 to 48. John, the big John now, the gospel according to St. John, chapter 12, verses 47 to 48. Now, these are the words of the Master himself. And I want every Christian who is under the sound of my voice, whether you're here present or you're hearing me electronically, wherever you are all over the world, to follow this example. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. Don't judge, folks. A better word, give this to me, the Amplified or the International Version. It means condemn. If anyone hears my teachings and fails to observe and does not keep them, disregards them, it is not I who judges him. For I have not come to judge, or to condemn, or to pass sentence, or to inflict penalty on the world, but to save the world. You see, once you have a judgmental attitude, you're going to push them away. Do I approve of what they're doing? No, I don't approve. But I know that having a judgmental, critical attitude is not going to help them. Now, go back to King James. Say, I did not judge him. You know, he said, but to save the world. Verse 48, watch this. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him when? Tomorrow. Next week. Well, the last day hasn't come yet. So between now and the last day, pray for the person. Don't judge them. Is this clear? Don't judge them. Pray for them. Treat them with love. Treat them with kindness. You'll be amazed what kindness can do. So this is the attitude. This is why we must not have stereotypes. Because some of them are sheep that are not yet of this fold. So don't judge them. I've given you my testimony many times, and I will repeat it because it's contextual. When I was an unbeliever, when I was in UI, as a young undergraduate student, I had Christians, we used to call them SUs. And this is a true story. It happened. It happened, you know, at the Tower Courts. Those days, taxis used to enter UI, you know, where the Vice Chancellor's office is, and turn back and go out. We all came from Dubai or somewhere, I can't remember, you know, and we were in the taxi together, and they were telling me I was going to hell, and I haven't accepted Christ, and how people have been preaching to me, and I've not yet been born again, and I was going to go to hell, 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 I was going to go to hell. When we got down, I can still remember that day. I was 16 years old. This was, I think it was in part one, my prelim. I was 15 plus going to 16. And then, you know, I got out of the taxi. I said, I'm not a Christian yet. I said, but if I ever become one, I won't do it like you people. And I walked off, hell or no hell. I'm telling you, it's like prophecy. Here I am today. Give the Lord a clap, offering. What are you talking about? Do you know a man's heart? Are you God? God condemning people, condemning people, condemning people. Pray for them. Love them. Talk nicely to them. Then maybe you will win them. And even if you don't win them, at least you would have done the right thing. Closing. Ezekiel chapter 37. The valley of dry bones. This is prophetic. Ezekiel 37. Am I talking to anybody here? I said, am I talking to anybody here? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Because of time, I'm not going to read everything. I just want to quickly hit the point. Ezekiel is carried by the Holy Spirit in a vision, and he goes and he sees a valley of very dry, dead bones. God asks him and says, can these bones live? Ezekiel wisely turns the answer back to God and says, Lord, thou knowest. Whenever you see unbelievers and you see people who are doing wrong things, don't try and just say, Lord, thou knowest. So God now says, prophesy. So Ezekiel now prophesied, and as he began to speak, he said there was a shaking. And the valley of dry bones began, all the bones began to rattle. Then supernaturally, the bones began to join to themselves. Before the bones were scattered, you know, in a disorderly form. But the Holy Ghost always brings order where there is disorder. So bone began to join to his bone. The correct femur to the tibia, you know, I've forgotten a lot of my anatomy, you must forgive me. Praise the Lord. Amen. But all the right bones in the right places, they began to join to each other. So the bones started coming. Instead of being, you know, randomly scattered, they began to join in order. So each skeleton began to take its correct shape. It's a miracle. The other time I was teaching about entropy. Unless there is intelligent power, you can't have order. The Holy Ghost brought intelligent order to that valley of dry bones and reordered each skeleton, so that the right bones were in the right places, from the skull to the hands to the rib cage to the femur to the ones on the leg, the ones in the toes, the ones in the finger, everything bone to his bone. And then he said, son of man, speak to the wind. Glory to God. And what did the Holy Ghost do? He began to put skin and sinew back upon the skeletons. Began to put muscle back and tissue, heart, arteries, veins. Oh my God. Dr. William, what kind of miracle was that? He put in the liver. He put in the kidneys. Right before Ezekiel's eyes. If you don't believe Genesis 1, you can believe Ezekiel 37. That God can do it in 24 hours. He put right before Ezekiel's eye, he rearranged everything, put sinew, put skin, put all the right organs in the right places. And then instead of having a valley of skeletons, you had a valley of bodies. And then he now said, breathe. Hallelujah. And the breath of life came into the dry bone, and an army arose. Glory be to God. But watch the prophetic word. Then God told the prophet. He said, this is the whole. H-W-H-O-L-E. House of Israel. The church is not yet complete. As I speak today, there are many of our sheep that are not yet of this fold. And as at this afternoon, they are still lying in the valley of dry bones. Cool. Thank you, Larry. That is one of the reasons why we need the Spirit without measure. As the first fruits of the manifestations of the sons of God begin to arise, God will put his prophetic word into their mouth and the bones we hear. Didn't Jesus says, I have sheep and they shall hear my voice? And the bones we hear, and bone will join to his bone. Bone will join to his bone. Bone will join to his, and then God will cover them with sinew. And he will cover them, and then he will breathe them the breath of life. And many of them will come into the kingdom. This is the whole house of it. The church isn't complete yet. There are millions, yea, probably billions, of our people who are Muslims today. They are Hindus today. They are Buddhists today. They are in the valley of dry bones, but they are coming. They are waiting to hear the prophetic word. And it is you and I that have that in our mouth. They are waiting for the wind of the Spirit. blow. It is you and I that will release that wind of the Spirit as we intercede, as we pray, and as we travail. And God, we draw these people. And when they come in, they will make the church complete. We will preach the gospel of the kingdom to all nations, every tribe, every tongue, and every kindred, and close the age. Be careful what you say. There are sheep that are not yet of this fold, but they are on the way. Let us pray. Talk to God. Sheep not yet of this fold. Pastor Kunle told us in the morning, he said, the veil that is covering the eyes of all nations is going to be removed. That prophetic word will remove that veil. And the dry bones who have not been hearing will start hearing. And they will come. So don't look down on people because they are Muslims. Don't look down on them because they are Buddhists. Don't look down on them because they are Hindus. Don't look down on them even if they are doing wrong things. Abimelech was doing a wrong thing, putting wives in harem and all of that. God knew that. But the man had it. Basically, he had an honest heart. Naaman was an unbeliever. He was a Syrian. God knew that. But God was still giving him victory because he was an honorable man. Be careful. Let's not fight this fight in the flesh. Don't fight the mayor of London. Pray for him. He's there now anyway. So pray for him. And as we pray for him and pray for London and pray for the heavenlies, God will work his way around the situation and cause his kingdom to come and his will to be done. These are the days of Elijah,
declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And these are the days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sorrow. We are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare the way of the Lord.
These are the days.
These are the days of Elijah.
We're going to pray in a few seconds. Tell God, I will no longer be biased. I will no longer stereotype people or religions. I'm going to be like you, Lord. I've been looking for sheep not yet of this fold. I will not judge a man before I hear. Watch the heart. The person who supplies meat for us in Life Fort is a Muslim. Totally honest. He will come and give us even more. During the festival, he brought a whole ram for me and my wife. Came to kill it in our house for us. Good heart. Look at the hearts of men. Don't look at their titles. I'm going to repeat it. When you're interacting with people, don't look at the title. Don't look at the tag. Look at the heart. And then walk in love and pray. Even if what is on the surface is not even good, pray. You're not fighting with flesh and blood. And God will bring them in. Raise that hand and put one hand on your heart. This is particularly true of our students in the university. Don't condemn people. He says he wants to come, let him come. If he doesn't even want to pray, don't pray. Help him. We're not reaching out to Christians, we're reaching out to unbelievers. And also, make them feel comfortable. I'm not saying, compromise, no. But, just be friendly. Just be nice. Be good to people. Say, look, come. At least even if you don't want anything, come for a cook. And laugh about it. Don't get all bent out of shape, and religiously stiff. Don't be a Judaizer. Don't be legalistic. Nothing repels an unbeliever more than a hypocrite. I know, because I used to be an unbeliever. Nothing repels an unbeliever more than a hypocrite. And somebody who preaches condemnation. After all, he said, I did not come to condemn. I came to save. He has not given us the ministry of condemnation, but of reconciliation. You should not be looking for a way of pushing them out. You should be looking for a way of bringing them in. Raise that hand. Talk to God. Say, Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. My Father and my God, I thank you for your word that has come to me this afternoon, showing me that you have many sheep, many men that are not yet of the Christian fold, but they are your people. And they will hear your voice. And they will come. Oh God, as I interact with men daily, open my eyes to see the hearts of men and not their religious titles or their tags. And to love them. And to treat them nicely and courteously. And to pray for them so that the power of the Holy Spirit can overcome the rulers of the darkness of this world that is blinding their eyes, so that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ can shine unto them through my right attitude, through my prayers, through my love, in Jesus' name. Zofre Lambra Kakakama Tulum
comme tout le monde nous fait. J'offre des lèvres. J'ai qui tout frères. Tout le monde garas. J'ai qui tout frères. Tout le monde gâte, tout le monde aras. Tout frères garas. J'ai qui tout frères. Tout le monde garas. J'ai frères des lèvres. J'ai qui tout le monde garas. J'ai qui tout frères. Tout frères des lèvres. Tout frères garas. Tout frères garas. J'ai qui tout frères. Tout frères des lèvres. Tout frères garas. In Jesus' name. Put one hand on your body. Raise your hand to God. We're going to receive resurrection power into our mortal flesh for our healing and our health, to reverse every defect in our genetic and immune systems so that they will start operating optimally. Say, Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. Jesus himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. Therefore, sickness and disease do not have a legal right in my body, and therefore I will not permit them to stay in my body. Therefore now I release resurrection life and power into my physical body, from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, into my heart, my kidney, my liver, my kidneys, my liver, all my blood vessels, into the DNA of every cell in my body, correcting all genetic errors, into my immune system, correcting all inefficiencies and errors in my immune system. I declare I am healed and I live in divine health. And so I keep the laws of hygiene and natural medicine, of diet, of physical exercise, and of rest. In Jesus' name, amen. Pray with strength and power. Jeki, let your prayer be directional. Zofrika matulomastufrinia. Zofrika matulomastufrinis. Zofrika matulomastufrinis. Zaki tolomangaras. Zofri, lambrika tolomashaka. Lambrika tufris. Zofrika, lambrika tufris. Zaki tolomangar tolomasoko. Ziki tufrine. Langaras. Zukuro. Lopriki tufrinis. Jeleka, lambrika tolomatufrinis. Zofridis, Zephre, Lambreke Tuska, Ziki to Fridingars, Lambreke Tuska Fridika, Ziki to Fride, Jalaprika, Safri, Tolomoshala Prikito Fish, Tolomangar to Fridu Fish, Lambreke Tolomotolomos to Fridu Fish, Coco Fresh, Sufri, Lambra, Lambreke Tuska Fre, Lika Tuska Fre, Lambreke Matufish, Tufridinga, Tolomangara, Zelaka, Shoki to Fre, Tolomangars, Tufri, Kamatolomos to Frini, Zaka, Kotomatufre, Lombromatuska Fre, Kakomatu, Lombromatufre, Tolomatolomos to Fre, Zofre, Lambraka Kakomatolomos Shoko, Tolomos to Fre, Tolomorodomas, Dufridinis, Nafridelas, Gilibrados, Zofridis, Lingardolomars, Sufridilas, Sufridis, Ambrodelas, Jalapradas, Nofridis, Nofridilas, Nofridicas, Shakitofridis, Nofridelas, Nofridelas, Tufrides, Tufridicus, Tufrides, in Jesus' name. A tweet if you like while we were praying. You see those demographics I spoke about at the beginning? That the birth rate, the natural birth rate, is tilting towards majority of people who are not native Caucasians or what we would call nominal traditional Christians, and is shifting, demographics are shifting towards Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists and all of that because of emigration from town from across the nations. But you know what? God's got a joke up his sleeve. Amen. You see, ours is not natural birth, it's spiritual birth. Shall a nation be born at once? Overnight, the demographics will just change.
Because the people in the valley of dry bones will just come into the kingdom. And the demographic will just change. So chill and don't get bent out of shape.